In the latest chapter of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves sifting through the ashes, or rather, the oceanic debris, of a disaster that was as predictable as it was preventable. The U.S. Coast Guard's Marine Board of Investigation has released its report on the Titan submersible implosion. Spoiler alert, it turns out when you cut corners and ignore safety protocols, things go catastrophically wrong. OceanGate, the company behind this doomed vessel, is being called out for what can only be described as an abject failure in everything from design to workplace culture. It's like they were speedrunning incompetence. Their inadequate design and toxic workplace culture weren't just footnotes. They were headliners in this tragic spectacle. 5 lives snuffed out because someone thought innovation meant ignoring every rule in the book. The expedition itself had all the makings of a bad movie plot. A dive to see the Titanic wreckage ends with another wreck at sea. Irony so thick you could spread it on toast. But instead of popcorn and soda, we got DNA tests and mangled metal pulled from the abyss. 2 years of investigation have given us a laundry list of lessons learned. But let's face it, most are lessons we should have known already. Stronger oversight, clear regulatory frameworks, these aren't new ideas, they're common sense wrapped in bureaucratic jargon. OceanGate is no more, having folded under its own negligence like a cheap lawn chair. They've offered their condolences, a hollow echo bouncing off the walls of empty boardrooms and sunken dreams. But condolences won't bring back those who paid the ultimate price for someone else's hubris. So here we are again, staring into the void left by human folly. We nod along to reports filled with phrases like, valuable lessons, knowing full well we'll be back here soon enough when history repeats itself with grim inevitability. And thus concludes another episode in our ongoing series, Our Collective Nightmare, where hope takes a backseat to absurdity, and wisdom is nothing more than a punchline waiting for its cue.
Today on First World Problems, we're tackling the pressing issue of British hikers who mistake the Italian Dolomites for a leisurely Sunday stroll through Hyde Park. Yes, folks, we've got a 60-year-old gentleman who thought do not enter signs were merely suggestions, like those pesky speed limits or expiration dates on milk. This brave soul decided to channel his inner Indiana Jones and embarked on a quest that led him right into the heart of a landslide. Because nothing says adventure like ignoring forewarning signs and crawling over barriers while other hikers are practically waving red flags saying, turn back. And what does he get for his troubles? A 14,225 euros invoice from the mountain rescue team. That's $16,400 in real money, or roughly 2 years worth of avocado toast if you're keeping score at home. Apparently, Brexit not only affects trade deals, but also your emergency rescue bill when you're stranded in Italy. Meanwhile, our Belgian friends across the border get off with a much smaller tab because they're still part of the EU club. So there's your new travel tip. Always hike with someone who has dual citizenship. The CNSAS is out here trying to save lives while this guy's treating helicopters like Uber rides. And let's be honest, folks, if you need GPS coordinates to find your way out of trouble, maybe you should stick to Google Maps instead of scaling mountains during landslide season. But hey, at least he wasn't using helicopters as taxis. Oh wait, what's next? Using ambulance sirens as personal soundtracks for morning jogs? So remember, the next time you're tempted to ignore big red signs in 3 languages telling you not to proceed, don't, unless you're ready to pay more than just an arm and a leg, literally and financially. And that wraps up today's First World Problem, when hiking becomes extreme sports tourism with added fiscal responsibility.
Ah, the wonders of modern technology and the global job market. In an era where we can barely distinguish between reality and AI-generated illusions, North Korea has taken a page out of Silicon Valley's book, except their startup model involves infiltrating US companies with fake identities to fund military programs. Who knew LinkedIn could be such a hotbed for geopolitical intrigue? Forget about your typical resume embellishments. These operatives have turned job seeking into an art form worthy of its own dystopian novel. Using AI to craft flawless resumes and concoct convincing interviews, they're slipping through the cracks like digital phantoms. And while they might fumble through small talk about American football or Thanksgiving, they're remarkably adept at securing positions in unsuspecting corporations. The genius here is that this operation doesn't just rely on technological trickery. It's got a human element too. Enter Christina Marie Chapman, the TikTok star-turned-laptop farm operator who unwittingly became part of this international charade. It's like watching a rags-to-riches story unfold in reverse. From luxurious travels funded by illicit gains to pleading for help on social media as her life crumbles under legal scrutiny. Meanwhile, corporate America continues its blissful slumber, occasionally waking up to find another employee downloading malware onto company networks. But fear not. The FBI is playing an endless game of whack-a-mole with laptop farms across the nation, because nothing says national security like raiding basements full of computers labeled with post-it notes. As we march toward our inevitable future where AI runs rampant and borders are mere suggestions, let us take solace in knowing that somewhere out there, a North Korean operative is practicing his American accent for yet another job interview while asking ChatGPT how to sound more human-like. Welcome to the brave new world, where even Orwell would struggle to keep up with the absurdity unfolding before our eyes.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder life's most pressing questions while sipping our existentially necessary coffee. Today, we're inspired by an article from Sustainability Food and Health titled "Feeding Predators at a Zoo." Denmark, a land of pastries, happiness indices, and apparently, pet donations for predator lunch buffets. Picture this, you've just realized your guinea pig isn't the conversationalist you hoped for. What to do? In Aalborg Zoo's world, it's simple. Donate it to become part of the circle of life, or rather, the circle of lunch. It's an elegant solution that mimics nature's food chain, but with a modern twist, Facebook posts and public debates. Ironically, as humans strive to create order in their chaotic lives by organizing everything from sock drawers to social media feeds, here we are applauding chaos, the unpredictable dance of predator and prey. The zoo claims it's about maintaining natural behavior, which is amusing considering how unnatural zoos inherently are. But who are we to judge? After all, we're just hairless apes trying to make sense of why socks disappear in the wash. The practice has sparked lively debate online, because what better way to engage with existential dread than through internet arguments? Some protest turning Fluffy into filet mignon for lions. Others praise this pragmatic approach as eco-friendly recycling. And truly, what's more human than arguing over morality while ignoring our own contradictions? Deputy Director Pia Nielsen assures us this is common practice in Denmark, a nation that once made headlines by euthanizing a giraffe named Marius because he was too genetically average for their breeding program. It seems even giraffes aren't safe from being labeled basic these days. As we consider these Danish dilemmas, one can't help but wonder if there's a lesson here about our own existence. Perhaps it's about embracing the absurdity of life and accepting that sometimes you're the lion, and sometimes you're the guinea pig. Or maybe it's simply recognizing that no matter how hard we try to control our world with rules and reason, we're still subject to nature's whims. So next time you find yourself questioning your place in this vast universe, or deciding whether your rabbit should meet its fate as a tiger treat, remember, life is strange and unpredictable. Embrace the chaos with dry humor and perhaps a touch less irony than those Danish zookeepers.
In the hallucinatory landscape of modern capitalism, Jaguar's saga is a fever dream that perfectly encapsulates society's relentless pursuit of profit at all costs. Once a titan in the luxury auto arena, Jaguar now finds itself ensnared in a web of its own making, tangled between outdated practices and ill-fated attempts at reinvention. The brand's recent identity overhaul was supposed to herald a triumphant return. Instead, it has become yet another chapter in the grotesque theater of corporate self-destruction. The advertisement campaign, an avant-garde spectacle devoid of cars but rich with vague slogans and gender-fluid models, was intended to catapult Jaguar into relevance. Instead, it drew ire from President Donald Trump and his conservative echo chamber, who lambasted it as woke nonsense. In this capitalist dystopia, where perception trumps reality, Trump's tirade on Truth Social becomes gospel for those eager to scapegoat innovation they do not understand. While Trump bemoans billions lost, a fiction given Tata Motors' ownership since 2008, the truth is far more insidious. Jaguar ceased production entirely last year as it clumsily attempted to pivot towards electric vehicles. A company once synonymous with opulence now stands idle, its factories silent monuments to an era when prestige was measured by horsepower rather than hashtags. Yet headlines scream about plummeting sales figures across Europe, a predictable outcome when no cars are being made, but enough to fuel outrage and misinformation. This is the capitalist's fever dream, narrative spun out of chaos, facts discarded like yesterday's newsprint, all while society remains hypnotized by the spectacle. Meanwhile, leadership changes at Jaguar Land Rover offer little solace or direction. CEO Adrian Mardell departs after steering the ship through turbulent waters, only to be replaced by PB Balaji come November. A reshuffling of deck chairs on this sinking vessel adrift in an ocean of obsolescence. Jaguar's unveiling of its Type 00 concept car at Miami Art Week, far removed from traditional automotive shows, serves as a fitting metaphor for its current plight, a mirage promising future glory amidst present despair. Yet even this beacon offers no tangible hope. Production timelines remain elusive as ever. In the end, this tale is symptomatic of a broader collapse, where innovation is stymied by indecision, and profits are prioritized over progress. As brands like Tesla surge forward, unencumbered by legacy burdens or antiquated ideals, Jaguar languishes, a relic trapped within its own capitalist nightmare, where dreams are sold but never realized.